please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, actually, Peter, you're here today. I'm not calling you out. Don't worry about it. But I had the opportunity with good friends to go to a home and see some incredible work of art and to see some incredible talent that was done to bring that art back to life. And that home was owned by the Walgreens. Oh, yeah, the Walgreens. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed hearing about the Walgreens, and especially Kathy Walgreen, who I didn't know, and that she is a generous and loving and kind person. Because has anybody here ever read the book Good to Great? It was a book that if you were in business, and I was prior to becoming a pastor, that you studied inside out, Good to Great. It was written by Jim Collins. And it talked about how a company goes from being good to being great. And one of the people who was considered to be a great level 5 leader was the CEO of Walgreens. Mr. Walgreen. So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm getting to go to this man's house. I just always thought he was just such an incredibly humble leader. And I get to go to his house and then find out that his wife was just as incredible and just as humble. So this book, Good to Great, describes how a company can move from being a good company to being a great company. And when we walked through the house, right there, I mean, I was like just blown away by all the artwork that was in there and absolutely phenomenal. But there on the bar was the book, Good to Great. And I was like, oh, look at that. They did put it out. How cute is that? I just thought that was really awesome. But most of the companies that they talk about, you know, they look at which are the companies that can make that transition from good to great. And which can't. And guess what? Most of them can't make that transition because it requires a certain type of leadership. And we don't see a lot of that type of leadership today. But when we talk about good, we talk about somebody doing something well, right? It's kind of the quality of the work. They fulfill all the principles of a particular role. That's a good school. She's a good teacher. You know, he or she is a good student. That's a good worker, right? That's what it's good. Good is good, right? We talk about great. We talk about something that is way above the norm, right? We talk about somebody that might be distinguished. Some of them proclaim themselves as the greatest. Who is the greatest fighter of all time? Ali. Thank you. All know Muhammad Ali, right? He would say, I'm the greatest. Here's a tricky one for you. Who is the greatest rock and roll band of all time? Who proclaims themselves as the greatest rock and roll band? The Stones. They are self-proclaimed. They announced themselves the greatest rock and roll band. Actually, somebody introduced them one time like that in 1969, and it is stuck. And that's how they refer to themselves as the greatest rock and roll band. How about good and great athletes? Oh, he's a good athlete. Oh my gosh, he's a great athlete, right? Greatest athletes. We can have arguments. You know, we compare one or the other. You're either good or you're great. Is God good?
No, he's great.
Have you ever prayed this with your children? We do it at camp. I see the nods of the head. You can see the camp parents all the time. The short prayer. And what do we say? God is great and God is good. And let us thank him for our food. Amen. That's the short prayer. So we're saying God is both great and good at the same time. How can that be? It's those both ands that as Lutherans we talk about. Let's talk about the great side of God first. That means transcendent. But do we really understand what transcendent or majestic means? This is what it means. God has absolute freedom, power, and will. Think about that. God has absolute freedom, power, and will. God can do whatever God chooses to do. No accountability whatsoever. If God wants to create, God creates. If God wants to destroy, God destroys. Yikes. I don't like that side of God. Why is that rocking? Oh, it must be God. God can do whatever God wants to do. Yeah, God is not bound by anything. Think about that for a second. And we see these things in the Old Testament readings. God's accountable to no one. There's no limits. God can do whatever God chooses to do. And we have seen that, haven't we? Which is why we need a covenantal God. We need a God who will put limits on God's self. Because that side of God is the scary side. We say we should fear and love God. That's the fear part. You know, God is all powerful and God can do whatever God chooses to do. And during Lent, we heard about the covenantal God, right? We heard about the God who destroyed the earth with a flood because everybody was misbehaving and doing all that. And what did God do after that? He made a promise, I will never again destroy. Because God realizes there is nothing any single one of us can do. We are all sinful people, so God will never destroy again. God puts limits on God's self. Thank you, God. That's the scary part. That's the part that frightens me. Now, we say God is great and God is good, genuine, loving, caring, compassionate, patient. How do we know this side of God? How do we see this side of God? How do we know this side of God even exists? Because in Jesus Christ, that is where God's character is revealed. God's goodness is expressed in the love of Jesus Christ. That's where we know God. We can't have a relationship with this other great God. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of that great God. But I can have a relationship with Jesus, the loving God, the side that God wants us to see and not be afraid of. Jesus is how we understand God's goodness. So God is both great and good. The God who could exert judgment, wrath, and destruction is the same God revealed with a face of love, mercy, and grace in Jesus Christ and the cross. God can choose to be anything God wants to be. And what does God choose to be? Good. It's pretty powerful. And we see that goodness in Jesus. Think about that for a second. At any point in time when Jesus was on that cross, Jesus, God incarnate, could have just obliterated everything. And yet didn't. That is unconditional love. I don't know about you, but I definitely couldn't do that. If I had that kind of power, I don't think at all I could do that. That's unconditional love. We hear this morning, ego a me. That is the Latin. During our Bible study in Lent, we focused on the I am statements. I am ego and me. It is how God defined God's self when God is in, when Moses is in the wilderness. Notice, God uses nature in the Old Testament, or speaks through the prophets, but mostly uses nature. It might be a cloud, it might be fire, right? It might be thunder. It's a burning bush. And notice, he doesn't go like, hey, get over here, Moses. No, just starts a flame going on. The bush is burning, 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 and not being consumed at all. And so Moses is curious and goes over. Interesting how God calls out of curiosity. And then when Moses gives every denial, no, 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 please. I mean, he finally is like, send somebody else, for goodness sake. I can't do this. What, though, is said? Who should I tell them? Sent me when I go to the people of that are the Hebrews in Egypt. Who shall I say? Who are you? And what does God tell Moses? I am that I am. Powerful words, the great I am. And here we hear it. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. God is saying, this is who I am in Jesus Christ. God is good, loving, genuine, caring, compassionate, and merciful. And boy, is God patient in Christ. I know God has a lot of patience with me. He then goes on to define himself as the good shepherd. I'm not just somebody you hire. You are mine. I created you. I protect you. I will go after you. You can't wander away from me. You can't go anywhere where I can't find you. I'm going to come and be by you always. Think about that vision of the shepherd. I'm going to bring you back into community. You won't be by yourself. No matter what you're going through, you will be in community with each other. And the sheep, well, we're the vulnerable ones. Do we like to say we're vulnerable? But there are points in our lives when we know just how vulnerable we are. We are the ones who are in need. We need to be loved, protected, given mercy, grace, healing, and wholeness. We are the both ands, right? We know we're both sinner and saint at the same time. God is both great and good. But there's something else here. We're both sheep and the shepherd. We are the tellers. We are the witnesses because we are in the relationship with the good God, the good shepherd. And we know that goodness. We can feel it in the hugs of others, the words of others, the patience, the compassion. We are called to tell, to share, and bring in and gather the goodness. So it's time for us to share the good news. Good, did you get that? Good news. Jesus Christ. It's time for us to go and share the good news about the Good Shepherd. Yes, God is great. Yes, amen.
Amen.
And God is good. Yes,
amen. Amen.
And here's the most important message that we could bring out there. God uses God's greatness for good, for us. Yes?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's go tell that story. Amen.